Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir on Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Atshelamuneo and Kiddushin Daf Samech Hei Amud Aleph. About to begin the Mishnah. HaOmer Lisha Kiddashtich. This Mishnah and the next few Mishnayot are going to deal with counterclaims about Kiddushin. So a man comes up to a woman and says, Kiddashtich V'Omer Lo Kiddashtani. He says he was Bekadish her, and she says, not true. The result is, Hu Asur B'Krovoteh V'Him Mutar B'Krovav. Basically, the result is that each one is sort of stuck with the reality that they presented. He is not allowed to marry her sister, her mother, etc., because he claims he's married to her. She is allowed to marry his brother and father, etc., because according to her claim, there's nothing. Now, clearly, there's no witnesses or not sufficient witnesses here to indicate Kiddushin. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a question. He omer Kiddashtani. Now, she says, you are Mekadosh me. Who omer lo Kiddashti? He says, no. Then the flip. And of course the Gemara will ask, why do we need that second clause after the first one? Now, there's a twist in it. He says, I was Mekadosh you. She says, no, it was my daughter. He is not allowed to marry the kin of the one he claims he married. She's allowed to marry his kin. He's allowed to marry the kin of the daughter, because he never said anything about that. She's allowed to marry his kin, because she never said anything either. Now let's flip it. He says, I was Mekadosh your daughter. She says, no, it was me. He's not allowed to marry the kin of the younger one. She's allowed to marry him, his kin. He's allowed to marry the kin of the older one. The older one's not allowed to marry his kin, because, of course, according to her words, she's Mekadosh to him. All right, the Gemara. Why do we need the first two cases? And there's the second after the first. If we said the rule in the case where he says, he's not so careful about it, and he'll say it even if he's not 100% sure, because he thinks he has nothing to lose. But a woman who says, Kiddashtani, would say, if she wasn't really, really sure about it, she wouldn't have said it. Maybe we should extend the Isur to him being usur against her relatives based on her word, because we know that she'd be very careful not to say Kiddashtani unless she knew what she was talking about. Therefore, kamash malan, that we don't say that, and that we have a real parallel ruling or symmetrical ruling. Okay. Kiddashtich v'homer, etc. Hatulamali. So now, why do we need the third case, or the second set of cases, the bitacha? So l'amen amido raitahim ne'rachman alav. After all, the Torah gives Nemanu to the father to say that he married his daughter off that we had in the previous Mishnah. Maybe the Rabbanan extended the same kind of Nemanu to the mother if there's no father around. Maybe the daughter becomes prohibited by dint of the mother's claim. Kamash Malan, that the mother's claim has nothing to do with the daughter. All right, Kiddashti et Bitcha. The last case was where the guy says, I was Mekadosh your daughter. She says, no, you're Mekadosh me. So, ha tu lamali. Now, what do we need in the last case? The answer is parallel construction. I didn't tana ha, tana namiha. Alright. Now, itmar, Rav amar kofin, u'shmuel amar mvakshin. Rav says, we force a get, and Shmuel says, we request a get. Ah, hey, which case are they referring to? Ilay mar reisha, if we're talking about the first case where the guy says, I married you, and she says, no, lav kofinik of lam vakshinik, there's nothing to give or to force. Right, Allah Seifa must be the second case where she claims she's married to him. So, Bishlam Vakshin Lachaya, I understand the request. Allah Kofinoi, how can we force the guy to give a get? Amar Lo Nechali De Yitzabi Kreva. He says, I claim I'm not married to her. I'm mutter to marry her sister. I want to marry her sister. The minute I give her a get, I can't marry her sister because then she's Achot Grushato. Ella Shmata Adad Itmar. Really, Kofin and Vakshin are not a machloket, they're a harmonious statement, a sequential statement. Amar Shmuel Vakshin Menali Ten Get. In the second case, we request him to give a get. He doesn't have to. Maravim natan get miatzmo. If he voluntarily gives the get without us even asking, kofino toli teng tuba. Then we force him to give a tuba. Because by giving the get, he's turning her into a grusha. And so therefore, at the very least, he has to pay the tuba, because according to his own claim, he's married to her. Eat marnami amar vacha bar ada amarav. One way or the other, this goes back to Rav. Kofin umavakshin. When we force any request, that makes sense. In other words, it's both kofin and vakshin, but really first in vakshin, and then if he gives even without that, then kofin the ktuba. All right, now we're going to get into the sugya that will take us most of the way for the rest of the podcast. That's the issue of Eid Echad, the status of one witness in various areas, but the focus will always be around the issue of Kiddushin. If somebody is Mekadosh in the presence of one witness, there's nothing to worry about, there's no Kiddushin. Now, so they asked Rav Yehuda, Shnehem Modim, what if the man and the girl agree that they got married in front of one witness? But they agree. My. In Valav Rafi Biade, Rav Yehuda wasn't sure. Sometimes he said yes, sometimes he said no, he wasn't really sure about it. But in Marmar Nachman Amr Shmuel, Shmuel was Rav Yehuda's Rebbe, said, Kadosh Ben Echad Enchoshin the Kiddushav. He said explicitly that even if the man and the girl agree that they got married, still we don't regard it. Without two witnesses there, it's nothing. Rav Nachman said this, quoting Shmuel. Now Rava turns to Rav Nachman and challenges. He says, "Our Mishnah, who has a mikvotav? So think about this. Edim, if there's really Edim, in our case, why should either one, the one who denies it, be Mutter? We've got Edim that they're married. Vidaleika, if there's no witnesses at all, am I also be Kovateha? Why is the man also? The man says, I was Makadish you. But he said evidently his claim is Makadish you alone, which means even a court, if we accept his claim, there's no Kiddushin, or in front of no witnesses. Allah beid echad, it must be that there's Eid Echad. Oh. So Hacham Eskin, the answer is no. His claim is that the Kiddushin were in front of witnesses. They're gone now. They're dead. They went away. It doesn't matter. He claims that the Kiddushin were in front of witnesses. All right. Continue to attack this statement of Shmuel that Mekadosh b'fnei Eid Echad is nothing. Eitav Megarshit Ishto V'lanimo B'pundiki. This is Sugi in the 8th parak of Gittin. A man divorces his wife, and then later they lodge in an inn together. The question is, do you need another get? Now, the issue here is that if they had bia afterwards, the assumption is it was a bia of kiddushin. Hey chidami, what's the case? If there's witnesses that saw them together, so my time out of becham, I would becham, I say you don't need it. Because everybody agrees that if they had bia afterwards, they need another get. Vidaleka edim, if there are no witnesses to it, then my tana beit hillel, why would beit hillel say you do need a get? Allah beit echad must be eid echad, and that means that according to beit hillel, hamakadosh beit echad, kiddushin are good. At least you need another get. Heveli tamechei maseifa, but think about, look at the end of that mishnah. Umodim in garshmin eirusin, beit hillel agree with beit shammai that if they were never married, they were only betrothed. Shein tzrichah mimenu get sheinu, that they don't need another get. Why? Neisha ein libo gaspa, because they're not intimate, and therefore we don't have reason to assume, at least, that that be it. V'salka daitach eid echad meheman, and if you think that one witness is believed according to beit hillel, so mali min eirusin, mali min arsun. What do I care what the status was before? We have one witness to kiddushe bia that should be good enough at least to force a get according to the reasoning that we had. Halachah, what's the case here? The case of Beit Sham, Beit Hillel, and the Pundak is not a case of Eid Echad. There are two proper witnesses to the fact that they went into the room together, but no witnesses that saw what happened inside. Beit Sham says, Eid Yichud do not constitute Eid Bia. But tell a Savri, if they were married before, and therefore they're intimate, and therefore, two witnesses who see them go into the room, and they're there overnight, we have to assume Bia. Umodim, Vadaimin, Garshim, and Ayrusin, and therefore, but Hillel agreed that if they were never married, since they weren't intimate, therefore we don't equate Eid Yichud to Bia. All right? So we, again, don't have any real strong challenge to the idea that Mekadosh b'fnei Eid Echad is anything. So we go back to Rav again. So now Shmuel said it, and Rav said it. Kiddushin in front of one witness, even if the man and the woman later come and admit that it happened, agree that it happened, there's no challenge to each other, nothing. Says the great Beit Din says, who is that Rav? Sometimes some people say that they're quoting Rav on this. So the great Beit Din says, now earlier, Rav Huna says, the great Beit Din, who's that? That's his father's Rebbe, Rav. When Rav said it, who's referring to? Rebbe, that's Rebbe. Because according to Rav, Rebbe is the saint of the previous generation that he would refer to in that sense, or the great scholar. Okay, Meitei Ravach Devoi Barami. Shnayim Shvam Dinat Hayam. You have a weird case. Two people come from Dinat Hayam, Yishai Mahem. Two men, one woman, come overseas, from overseas. Chavilai Mahem, and they have a package with them, with some valuables. Ze Omer Zu Ishti Vezeh Avdi. One man says, this is my wife, the other guy is my slave, Zu Chavilati, and I own the package. Vezeh Omer Zu Ishti Vezeh Avdi Vezu Chavilati. The other guy makes the same claim, obviously, about the other guy. In the meantime, what does the woman say? These guys are both my slaves. The package is mine. So what's the halacha? She needs a get from each guy. And she collects her ketubah from that chavila. Because a man of shach, either the chavila belongs to this guy who's married to her, she collects from him, or the other guy who's married to her collects from him, or it belongs to her, in which case it's hers anyways. Now, what's the case? If this guy has witnesses, and this guy has witnesses of kiddushin, so, how can she make the claim that the package belongs to me and these are my slaves? It must be that there's Eid Echad to Kiddushin, and therefore we're Choshish. That's what we force a get. And Batisbra, think about this. Eid Echad Bachoshim in Meheman. But you have basically one Eid versus one Eid. That's nothing either. And as if you say Eid Echad Neman, in those cases where you say Eid Echad Neman, the Eid Echad against them is nothing. So, in this case, you can't say it's Eid Echad. No question that in this case, that she can marry whoever she wants. There's no chash for kiddushin here. However, this is what they're saying. If she wants to claim the chavila, the only way she can get it, because otherwise, we're not going to do anything. I mean, it's like, ad she avoid the yao kind of case. We don't know what to do with this. So the only way she can make a claim on it that's really ironclad is to accept Shnei Gittin. The minute she accepts Shnei Gittin, the Chavilah is hers one way or the other, or one way or the other, or the other. Okay, Rav Meir he, and this is all based on Rav Meir, Damar Metaltal Mishtab de the Ketubah, that Metaltalin could be a lien for a Ketubah. Therefore, this Chavilah could really be attached to the Ketubah. All right, so now that we've dealt with a few of the situations of Eid Echad, my Havela, what's the final ruling? Of Kahanamar Ein Choshin the Kiddushav, just like Rav said and Shmuel said and Rav Nachman said, Ein Choshin the Kiddushav. Rav Papa Amar Choshin the Kiddushav. He says we do. So I'm like Rav Ashi Rav Kana. Rav Ashi turned to Rav Kana and said, "My Datech, why do you think that Ein Choshin?" Which is interesting that he's asking him because that's the preeminent position all the way through. The Alpha Davar Davar Mamon. You think that we learn Davar Davar Mamon Ervat Davar and Al Pishnayim Edim Yalkum Davar, and therefore Ein Davar B'Shiv Erbachot M'Pachot Mishnayim, and therefore one aid to Kiddushin is nothing. So Imal Ahalan Hodat Baldein Din Kame Edim Dami Afkan Hodat Baldein Kame Edim Dami. What's the Din in Mamon? If the Baldein is Machayev himself according to his own words, then that works. So why don't you say the same thing here when one witness comes, or even the guy comes and says, "Yes, I'm married to her," that should be good enough. So Rav Kahn answered very simply, if a Baal Din is Modeh, all he's doing is making himself liable. And his opposite number now has a credit coming to him. Has payment coming to him. Here, when the Kiddushin happened, if we really accept it, he's being Mechayiv. This girl now can't marry anybody else. And if he divorces, she can't marry his Krovim. And there's all sorts of other Chiyuvim. So there's no way in the world that the Baal Din is going to be believed. Which, of course, doubles back to our Mishnah. Now we have a couple stories. Marzutra Rav Ada Sava, who were Bnei de Rav Meri Bar Isur. They were the sons of Rav Meri Bar Isur. Palig Nichsayu Bahadi Adari. They split their property, their estate. Atul Kame de Rav Ashi. They came to Rav Ashi because they'd split their estate without witnesses. Amrulay, they quoted the Pasuk. Al Pishnei Dimya Morachmana Tibal Mahadi Lamatso Hadri Behu. The Torah said you need two witnesses for everything. Is the reason for that so that nobody can reneg? Va'anan lo hadri, and we believe each other, we're not going to reneg. Odil malo mekayim milta ala besadi. He said, maybe a thing does not have any standing without witnesses. In other words, maybe our division is meaningless without witnesses, even if we both agree that we're never going to change our minds and make up claims. So Amar Lahu, what was his answer? Lo Ibru Sahadi El Shakri. Witnesses are only there in order to make sure nobody lies. And nobody claims it's something that he obligated himself to. Now he's not, he really didn't obligate himself to in any other way. Which means if you guys are comfortable with each other and you separate it without any witnesses, you split it without witnesses, that's fine. Now, Amar Abaye. Abaye is going to bring several Mishnayot in which Eid Echad does have standing. Amar lo Eid Echad achalta chelev. One guy comes up to a fellow and says, you ate chelev. That means you chayev echatat. This is Bishogeg, of course. Valo shotek. And the other guy says nothing. Neman, he's believed, and this guy's chayev echatat. Vatana tuna. And we said, Amar lo Eid Echad achalta chelev alo mer lo achalti. If the other guy says, I didn't, this is a bright on it. The other guy says, I didn't, potter. Tama d'amarlo, it says, only because he denied it. Hayishtik meheman. So we come to the same conclusion as the Mishnah via the Braita, which is if you're silent, so one aide says you ate chelev, and the other guy's silent, he's neman. And he has to bring a chatat. V'amar b'amarlo aide achad nin mutarotecha. Second case. A witness, a man comes up to a fellow and says, your taharot became tame. V'alo shotek, and the other guy's silent, neman. Patur. Again, the Braita says that if the fellow denies it, then it's not Tamei. Tamei Amar Lo. And because he denied it, Ha'ishtik Meheman, I guess if he's silent, then he's Neman. Amar Abaya, Amar Lo Eid Echad, third case. Shorchan Nirbat. Your animal was involved in bestiality, which means, of course, Chayv Skila. Falo Shotek, and the owner of the animal is silent, Neman, and we've stolen the animal. V'tana Tuna, V'shenevdo Aba Avera, V'shehemit Al Pi Eid Echad, Al Pi Abaylim. Neman. And we add to that that if an avera was done with his animal, or it killed somebody in the presence of Eid Echad, or in the presence of the owner, he's Neman in the shore's niskal unless the guy protests. Now, hi, al pi Eid Echad Echidami. What's the Eid Echad here with the shore? Eid Echamodu Bailim, if the owner admits that it happened, hi, al pi Bailim. That's al pi Bailim. Alav Yishatik. It must be a case where the one aid comes and says, your animal killed, and the owner denies it. Because if the owner actually protests, we don't believe Eid Echad. But here we have three cases, Chelev, Taharot, and Shorcha, in which one aid saying it happened, and the owner of the thing, or the liable person says nothing, he's Chayev. So we see Eid Echad is Neman. Utsricha. First of all, why do we need all three cases? Diash ben Hachkamait, if Abaya only told us the Mishnah from Kritut about Achalta Chelev, if the fellow didn't know for sure that he had done it, his silence means really acquiescence, because he wouldn't want to bring chulin lazara. If he brings a chatat that's not chayv, it's chulin lazara. So when he's silent, we have to say he really does admit it. But maybe the reason he's being silent when the guy says your taharot became tameh, he said, you know what, so I'm not going to put up a fight, so I'll have stuff to eat when I'm Tomei. Asma, I don't think it was Tar, but all right. V'yashmin and Had, if we only had that case, v'shum the kamafsid le biyomei b'mei tarato. Perhaps his silence here really means that he knows that his Taharot became Tomei, because otherwise he'd protest because half the month or however long it is that he's Tomei, that he's Tahor, he's losing access to this stuff. Allah Sharon nirba, but when they say your animal was involved in something that's going to get the animal killed, may my armor call a shrine, love the gabi mizbeach kaimi. All we're saying really is that this animal was pasul mizbeach. He says, not every animal goes to the mizbeach. So, asma, I'm not going to put up a fight, so my animal doesn't go to the mizbeach. It's not going to be niska. So, tzricha, the answer is that's why we all need all three. Now, ibayalu, now that we've, Abaya has brought these three cases where Eid Echad neman, ishto zintab Eid Echad. A man, an aide comes up to a man and says, your wife had an affair with somebody. I'm the one aide. Vishal take. And the husband's silent, mahu. So I'm Abaya Neman. Abaya says he's Neman, and therefore he has to divorce her. Rav Amar Eino Neman. Nope, no Nemanot at all. Why? Havadavar Sheba Ervain, Davar Sheba Erva Pachot Mishnayim. Back to our basic rule. Every Davar Sheba Erva needs two witnesses. Now, Amar Abaya. Abaya is going to prove it. Menami Nala. How do I know that? There was a particular teacher whose job it was to review the Mishnayot in the presence of Shmuel, and Yom Achad Nagale. One day he was late coming to the Beis Medrash. So Shmuel sent a shliach to get him. Ada'azo shliach b'chada orcha, while the shliach was coming in one path, ata'iu b'chada, he came the other way to the base manders. He ata shliach, when the shliach came back, amar ishto zinta. He said, I was there, the man was gone, but I saw that his wife was having relations with another man. Ata l'kamen emar Shmuel, this fellow, probably very upset, came to Shmuel and said, what do I do, Rebbe? Marle imehemam lach zil afka, if you believe this guy, and we think that means, if you believe him that he's not a ganav, meaning he's a proper witness, then divorce her, which means, al piyed echad, we believe. That's a bias proof. Filo lo tafik. So my love, mehim alach delav gazlanahu, that doesn't Shmuel mean, imehem an alach, meaning, you know that he's a proper witness. So you see that eid echad is enough. Rava says, no, imehem alach kivei trei zil afka, if you believe him as much as you would believe two witnesses, then indeed, you'd have to divorce her. V'lo lo tafka. So really, eid echad alone does not establish it, even though he's a kosher eid. You personally really believe it's true because you have absolute trust in this guy. That's a different story. And here we hear a very bizarre story. It's a very old story. Tanya. Maaseh b'Yanai HaMelech. This goes back to the first century BCE. Alexander Yanai. Shalach the kochlit shemin bar. He went to this particular place in the desert. V'chivei sham shishim krachim. He captured 60 large cities. This is probably hyperbolic. On the way back, he had a big party. He called all of these elders. Our ancestors used to eat salted fish and salted vegetables and all sorts of fancy stuff when they were involved in building the Beit HaMikdash. So we'll also eat them in remembrance of our ancestors. Sounds like a good guy. They had golden tables and they ate big feast. So there was a real jerk there by the name of Elazar ben Poira, probably associated with the Tzdukim. Elazar ben Poira liyanai melech. So he said, and you can hear the language here is quasi-biblical, it sounds like a piece of the Apocrypha. Yanai melech, libam shal prushim alecha, the prushim are after you. And of course, as we know, the Chashmonaim at a particular point in time became closely associated with the Tzdukim because they were Kohanim and Bnei Tzadok, etc. And so he said, the Prushim are out to get you. So the king said, what do I do? He said, how can I know that they're really out to get me? Put the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol wears, put it between your eyes, put it on. So he put it on. Hayasham zaken echad v'yuda ben Gedid yashmo. So there's one elder. Again, biblical language. You're the king. Leave the crown of kahuna, the tzitz, for Aharon's descendants. Now, that's of course a tremendous shtach, because Alexander Yanai, being a Chashmonai, is a kohen. Why did the rabbis not want this? And this Elazar ben Poira knew that they were going to come after him. Shayomrim imo nishpeit b'modiim. As Alexander Yanai's mother was taken captive at some point by Modim, perhaps in one of the Greek wars, and as a result of that, we have to assume that she was violated, which would, of course, make her a surah leba'ala, and would therefore make the child a halal. But indeed, they checked into it, and they found it not to be the case. And so Chachmei Yisrael got very upset, and they walked away from the table, because they didn't want to deal with him, because they said, you know, there's a cloud over your status of Kohanim, even though we checked into it and it wasn't the case. We'll see what that means. But they still didn't think it was appropriate for him to have the tzitz. Of course, what he's doing with the tzitz all the way out in the midbar is a different story. So now this troublemaker speaks up and says, Yanai Melech hadyot shebiyisrael kachu dino. This is how a regular person is treated. Tam melech v'kohen gadol kachu dincha. You're the king and the high priest. This is how they treat you. So what should I do? He said, if you listen to what I say, you should slaughter them. Have them trampled. So interesting concern. He's not concerned about the murder. He says, what's going to be with Torah? These are all the teachers of Torah. There's a safer Torah in every corner. Everybody could learn. What are you chachamim for? So a much later comment on the story is, Miyad nizrakabu apikursut. He had a form of heresy enter him, the king, because we kind of mixed feelings about this king until this point. Tavilelameimar, he should have said, Tenach Torah Shebichtav. What you say is true about Torah Shebichtav. Torah Shebalpeh, Torah Shebalpeh, you need chachamim. Miyad v'atotzei tzara yidei alazim and po'ira. So this evil burst forth, or blossomed. And all of Chachmei Yisrael, except of course for Alexander Yan, his brother-in-law, Shimon Shetach, who was hidden, he came along and saved the Torah, he restored the Torah, this is in the first century BCE. Alright, but the point of the whole story for our purposes is Hechidami. Why is it that they said the mother was taken captive and they didn't like his Yichus as a coin, and then later they said it turned out not to be the case? If there were two witnesses who said she was taken captive and two said she wasn't, why would you rely on the two that said she was? Rely on the two that said she wasn't. Ella be'edachad, must have been edachad. It must have been edachad said she was taken captive. Another two said she wasn't. It's only because you have the two that said she wasn't that they said lo nimtza. Halav hachim, hey, if not, then we believe him. And so we see edachad about zinta is true. So what would Rava say? Le'olam treo tre. Really, the case in with Yana's mother was two witnesses said yes, two witnesses said no. V'achab rav namnumi be'edei hazoma. In general, he answers a situation like this, two versus two. Two versus two could be hachosha, where two say it happened, two say it didn't happen. Two versus two could be hazoma, where two say it did happen. The other two say, we don't know if it happened or not, but you couldn't have testified to it because you were with us at the time. Which means, by the way, now, the original testimony is nothing. It's not like two versus two. There's nothing. Which means if two people testified that she was taken captive, and another two testified, you guys were with us at the time, it's not two versus two. There's no testimony whatsoever that she was taken captive. Which means everything was fine. So, Hachinami Medi Azama, that's one answer. Vibayitema, another answer is, Kurabi Yitzchak, Yitzchak, Shifcha Knisu Tachteha. The mother was taken captive, and at the last moment, somehow they stuck a shifcha in her place, and she was spared, and therefore we know that she was not violated. Again, explaining why they thought that she was prohibited, but she wasn't. Those are Abaye's two stories. Shmuel's Tana, and the story with Alexander Yanai, that he tried to use to support his contention that Edachad Omer Zinta is Neman. Now, Amarava. But Aminullah, I'll prove to you that Edachad is not Neman. None. I'm Rabbi Shimon. So this is really not a Mishnah, it's a Tosefta, mikvot. Ma'aseb Megurashil Diskim, or Diskus. It was a pool. Biavne, Shaita Omer Bechazkat Shleima. It was used as a mikvah, and everybody knew it had 40 saw. Madumim Seyta Chaseira. And one day they measured, found it to be deficient. So, Kol Tarushin Asua Gaba, what about all of the people who went into the mikvah since the last time they measured and found it to be proper? And then where Osek Patar wrote, I have a Tarfon Matar or Rekiva Matamer. Tarfon said, you're all Tahor. Except if somebody goes into the mikvah right now after we measure it and found it to be deficient before we fill it up, then he's not Tahor. But anybody till the minute before we measured it is Tahor. Rabbi Kiva said, no, it's Tame. I'm Rabbi Tarfon. Now, we're not going to end up solving the mikvah problem. We actually will. That's not our concern. It's one of the arguments that is invoked in order to prove Rabbi Kiva's position that will help us with our Edachad problem. Rabbi Tarfon, mikvah zeh b'chezkat shalim hu omeid. This mikvah had a chazaka of being proper. Misofek ata ba l'chasro. You're coming to say that it's possible. Misofek? Ata chazar misofek. Just because you have a suffix, you can't be mechaser it. You don't know that it was deficient yesterday or the day before. But remember, the guy who goes on the mikvah was mechaska tome. This is the sugi at the beginning of Nida, of course. Misafik at Dabala Taharo. You want to be metire him based on a suffix of whether or not that mikvah was full yesterday. I'll tell him a suffix. You can't be metire him, misafik. So Retarfon said, Mashal. I'll prove it to you by way of a parable. A Kohen is bringing Korbanot, and while he's bringing Korbanot, he finds out that his mother was a Grusha. Any Avodah he did till now is still kosher. From Bekiva said, Mashal, I'll compare it to another Kohanic situation. A guy's bringing Korbanot, and he finds out that he's a Balmum. He had a mark, he didn't know what it was, he thought it was okay, and then later the doctor comes up and says, Zamum. Or the Kohanim is coming to tell him. Shavrat Hopsula, indeed, the Avodah done by Balmum is Pasul. You compared the fellow going to the mikvah, that case, to a Balmum, and I compared to Ben Chalutza. Right? Nirela Midome, let's see, let's examine and see which analogy is better. Idome le Ben Gusha Ben Chalutza, Ndeno Kaben Gusha Ben Chalutza. Idome le Balmum, Ndeno Balmum. In other words, if you're analogy is closer, we'll go that way. And if mine is better, we'll go that way. So the Chiddush of Akiva Ladunam. Akiva then argued as follows. Mikveh psulo biyachid, ubamum psulo biyachid. This is the part we care about. A mikveh is nifsal, and if one person says so. And so is a balmum. Val yochiach ben grusha ben chlutza, shepsulo bishnayim. A ben grusha ben chlutza need two witnesses to testify that the mother was a grusha. Davar acher, another comparison, is mikveh psulo begufo. The psul of a mikveh is in the mikveh itself. It's the deficiency of water. Balmum psulo begufo, and a balmum's deficiency is in the balmum. It's the mum on him. As opposed to ben grusha ben chlutza, whose deficiency comes from the outside. So Rabbi Tarfon had great praise for Bekiva and acceded the point. He said, leaving you is like leaving a wife. You really have it figured out. Now, that's the Tosefta. Now, Hai Balmum should nifsal by yachid echidami. What does that mean that Balmum is nifsal by one person? Either kamachishle, if a witness says, you're Balmum, and he says, no, I'm not. Mimeheman, why would you believe one witness? Eladashatik, it must be silent. And remember, we're saying that's parallel to Ben Grusha V'Chlutza, but parallel but contrasted. Deshatik, if I say you're Ben Grusha V'Chlutza, one witness says it, and he doesn't say anything. Uktani mikveh psulo biyachid, v'amum psulo biyachid, v'achal Ben Grusha V'Chlutza, shepsulo bishnayim. We said in the same parallel case, Ben Grusha V'Chlutza is not believed without two witnesses. So that means what's the case with Balmum? Where we do believe him, that's when he says, you're Balmum, and the guy says nothing. If the guy says, yes, I am, we don't need the witness. If the guy says, no, I'm not, the one witness isn't believed. It must be that he's silent. So on the parallel case of Ben Grusha and Chlutza, when one guy says, you're Ben Grusha, and he says nothing, we don't believe him. So you see, you need two witnesses, like Rava says. All right, so that's Abaye's point. That's Rava's point. Abaye's answer is, the Olam Nekamach Yishle, really, one guy says, you're Balmum, and he says, no, I'm not. The comment of my Mehema, so why do we believe the guy? Very simple, with a Balmum, my Shlach Achvi. The guy says, good, lift your shirt and let's see if you're Balmum or not. Unlike anything else about a Chiyuv Momoni or some sort of Macholos Asur she did last week, either you're Balmum or you're not. All we have to do is take a look. Behind the Tani, Mikvah Psulo Begufo, Balmum Psulo Begufo, Vechech Ben Gushma Chutzah Shib Psulo Beachirim. In other words, the two arguments brought by Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Tarfon were not two, they were one. Mikveh psulo biyachid and mikveh psulo begufo is all one thing. That's why one person can invalidate a mikveh. Just measure it. One person can invalidate a balmum. Just check them out. But two guys, you need two guys for Ben Grusha V'Chlutza because that's about a situation that happens some other time. It's not intrinsic to the body of the person that you could check out. And that's Abaye's response. Now, Ben Grusha V'Chlutza, parenthetically, we're going to end up the sugya with, so we don't have a resolution on Abaye and Rava, but we're going to end the sugya parenthetically by just filling in the blanks, how we know that the avod of Ben Grusha V'Chlutza is kosher, and the avod of a balmum is not. Ben Grusha V'Chlutza, we'll talk Shei Raminel, and how do we know that? Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Damar Krav, Aita Lo Uzaro Charav. Pinchas was given a breed, Lo Ulazaro. What does that mean? Ben Zera Kasher, Ben Zera Pasul. Whether the kid is a proper kid or not a proper kid, he has Brit Kunat Olam. So even if he has a kid who's a Ben Grusha, the kid does Avodah, it's Kasher. Avodah Shmuel Amar, that was Shmuel. Shmuel's father said, I remember Shmuel and they were Kohanim, said, Mehacha, Barecha Adonai Chelo, Ufal Yadav Tirtze. This is Moshe's Bracha to Shevet Levi. Bless Hashem his strength. But what's the Drasha? Afilu Chulin Shabot Tirtze. Except even the one who is Chulin, meaning Chalal. Rabbi Yani Amar Mihacha, Uvata Al Kohen Asher Yabai Mimahem. This very bizarre thing in Mikra Bikurim. He says, you come to the Kohen who's in your day. Chitala Dalchash, Adam Alechetz Al Kohen Shalom Abimah. What are you supposed to go to a necromancer or to time travel to talk to some Kohen who's not in your time? What kind of strange statement is that? Alazek Asher Nichalal. That means it's a Kohen who is kosher and then proved to be a halal. You still go to him. Balmum avratopsu omin island. How do you know that a balmum's avoda is pasul? Aviram Shmuel damar kra lachenemoy neten lo briti shalom. What is it, Pinchas? I'm giving you my brit shalom, meaning shuk shalem lo shuk haser. Only when he's complete, not when he's missing something like a broken leg. V'hashalom ktiva. It's written shin lamed vav mem. Nachman vav de shalom ktiyahi. As we all know in our sefer Torah, the vav of the word shalom is a broken vav. Of course, that's an interesting idea, is that it's briti shalom, even if there's something broken. The idea is that it should really be read as shalem, is the brit only goes to a kohen who is physically shalem, even if his yichas is questionable, in which case the avodah is kosher. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick up in the next Mishnah, And the next two pieces, which will take us to the end of the perek, will deal with the definition of lineage based on the status of the relationship between the people, and there'll be four categories which we'll deal with in the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.